Welcome to Waking Up with Melissa, a podcast that takes a deep dive into personal development, spirituality, and how to grow your online business. I'm your host, Melissa Ruiz, a spiritual and mindset business coach for all conscious healers out there. Stay tuned every week while I share insights on how to balance your business and also stay in alignment with your higher self. I truly believe that we all uniquely possess all of the things that we're seeking if we simply allow ourselves to surrender, to be present, and to take action in our lives. Welcome back to another solo episode on Waking Up with Melissa. Today, I'm sharing a behind-the-scenes look on why we're seeing so many content creators quitting and what you could be doing to stay ahead of the game. Let's dive right in because I already feel that we're just going to have a radically honest conversation. It's about to get real, humans, because this is based on data and not my emotions. And while I've mentored over 1,000 students to start their soul business, can I tell you that I've also helped a lot of humans who wanted to quit? I've helped them bring back their alignment into their soul business. And here is the number one problem I see. This is a new industry. Being online, being an entrepreneur, being your own boss. And think about it. Have you had an example on how to do this? No, we're replicating the only thing that we've ever known. And this is what I call corporate trauma. The truth is that we're being tasked to write our own manual. I still remember this point in my business where I started to create my culture book. And I remember my coaches flew down into New York when I lived there and we rented out a little studio to figure out, okay, what is the culture of Melissa Ruiz Empowerment, of Unleash and Unveil? Like, what does that symbolize? What does that mean? And we started to create the manual of the company. And I'll never forget a complete breakdown and a meltdown that I had. It was 5 hours of being locked into this room with my team and my coaches. And I kept shaming myself as to why can I not understand how to write my own manual for my company? And months later, I realized that it was just something that I had never done. And this is probably one of the hardest things that we have to do in our business. I'm sure you're probably a master at whatever it is that you do, whether it's running retreats, hosting, being clairvoyant, whatever it is that you do, I'm sure you are a master at that. But there is a big problem when it comes to translating all of that into an actual business. And one thing I always tell our students is that you can run your business like a business and actually be profitable, or you can run your business like a hobby. Here's the thing, you don't know what you don't know, which makes business actually really difficult. We're dealing with corporate trauma and we're replicating all the things that we've seen in how the industry does it, right? So overworking yourself, burnt out. And now we're probably quitting our very stable job to now be an entrepreneur and work 24/7. And at a certain point, you're going to quit. Here are the 5 things that I started to understand based on the conversations that I was having with people are the reasons why people are actually quitting. Let's get into it. You're either a founder or a CEO, and not everybody is meant to run a company. You see, I love being a CEO. I love looking at numbers. I like looking at data where I break down the KPIs. If you don't know what that is, those are key performing indicators. I look at all of our numbers. I'm talking about our email marketing, our social media channels. Right now, I'm sure there's somebody listening who's like, what the hell? I don't want anything to do with that. Well, you might be a founder. And so there's a certain level of skill that's required to be a CEO. And you can learn how to manage your time and how to manage your energy so that you are running your business more efficient. But even still, I have also had many students that I have mentored over the years who just straight up want to be a founder. They want to not have that responsibility of running a team and being in their leadership and managing people's emotion because, guaranteed, if you have your own business, you're going to have to deal with clients, and all clients have their own emotions and they have their own energy. And so you have to be a master at that. You have to be a master at not only running your business, but also managing people's expectations. You see, for me, a founder is someone who doesn't have the day-to-day responsibility of running the operations. I actually have a student right now. She's so beautiful. And she loves to be in her creative energy. She loves to create her decks, her journals, and her business is really a channel, right? And so somebody like her may not want to be the CEO of their company. Why am I bringing this forth? Well, figure out what freaking type of business you want to run. You see, a lot of business owners are actually quitting because they're being all of the things in their business. And while I know that there is a benefit to that in the beginning, and you may not have the resources to outsource, you got to get really clear on what's yours to do and what's not yours to do. One of the very first positions that we actually hired way before we were profitable was a VA. And while the only budget that we had at that time was around $200 to $300, I did find somebody who was able to bring in a few hours into our business, and they created all of the things that I didn't want. I gave them a whole list. I'm like, I don't want to create a lead magnet. I don't want to write emails. While I was creating the parts of the business, I realized that the marketing role I did not enjoy. And so get really, really clear now on what it is that you need to help you grow in your business. Over time, very proud of myself, I learned to be a good marketer. I learned how to manage our team Slack, or what we call our Asana board, where the very organized part of our business lives. But my nervous system could not handle that in the beginning. And one of the things that I keep seeing over and over and over in this very new market, which we don't have a freaking manual to run, is that not only are we spread too thin, is that you have to understand if you're building a business where you're the CEO, or are you building a business where you are just the founder? And now you may want to sell that business down the road. Perfect. Or you want to be in your creativeness, and that means you have to bring the right players to help support you. Another thing that I've been seeing in the market is what I'm calling this peace over profits. It's very rare that I meet somebody who actually hates what they do. It's more like they hate what the hell they built. And now this usually happens because of unnecessary pressure that entrepreneurs are putting on themselves. And I'm telling you, this only is a result of two things: not following your intuition, or growing a brand in a very unsustainable way. Let's pause there and unpack. If you do not want to be working 24/7, you have to stop. And while I do believe, and I know somebody's going to come after me for saying this, there is a part of your business where I don't want to say it's the hustle part of your business, but I will say it's like running. I remember when I started to run marathons with my wife, it was really hard. It was hard for my body to acclimate to that. I remember running my very first 5K. I almost stopped in the middle and threw up. In fact, I actually stopped and I thought I was going to throw up, and I didn't, because my breathing was hard. My body wasn't used to it. Well, the same thing happens to your business. You've never seen yourself as an entrepreneur. So the beginning part, it's going to be difficult. The beginning part, I don't want to say is hustle, but it's just new. And so expect that. That is a part of building something new. You've never been at that level, but you have to shift out of that. You cannot stay in that hustle part of your business where you're doing all of the things and you're being in all of the places. At a certain part, you're going to have to switch the model. And actually, I remember I listened to Gary Vee one time break this down, and I really loved what he said, and I never forgot it. And he said, in the beginning part of your business, nobody freaking knows you. Correct. And so you want to pump out volume. I mean, it's kind of obvious. Nobody freaking knows you. You don't have receipts. Why is anybody going to want to work with you among actually the experts in your industry? Well, if I'm pumping out more volume than everybody else, chances are I'm going to be seen more. And so in the beginning, you want to pump out more of that volume. However, once you get those receipts, once you understand you have proof of concept, you want to flip that model. You probably want to raise that price, and you want to work with less students. I do not believe the goal is booked and busy. Like, Hell no. I don't want to have a business where I have to work 24/7. That's why I've spent a lot of our resources building a team. And while I had a team at one point that was 8 people, that was way too much. And I realized like, okay, wait, I don't want to build a business where I have to manage all of these people. I cut it down to 4. And now that's the sweet spot. I love creating a business where I have team members that actually help me. They're the right players, but I'm always going to prioritize my peace over profits. I could have grown my brand a lot faster, but at the end of the day, I was just so unwilling to do anything that was not in alignment. I never forced myself to do anything. And the people that I've seen quit, I listen to their story. I see them take a break. I see them come back online. And what are they saying? Exactly what I'm telling you. They put this immense amount of pressure. They kept working around the clock. They prioritized their profits. They thought that they were supposed to be a lot further. And they kept like being on this endless hamster wheel. And for me, that was just something that I was not willing to do. You see, when I quit being a TV producer, I made a promise to myself. And that promise was to never wake up in a studio and work 12 hours a day, sometimes 14 hours a day. I promised myself that in that next part of my life, I was going to feel content and happiness. And I didn't want to feel burnt out. I actually wanted to create something that I loved. And while, look, I'm not going to lie to you, I love what I do. Do I work sometimes on the weekends? Yeah, I do. I don't see clients, but I work on my own voice. I work on my writing. I work on my book because those are things that truly feed my soul. But I'm not prioritizing profits. And that's exactly why I have a team to help me. Most people don't move out of this stage because they either cannot relinquish the control, they're still so attached to their business that either A, they feel like we're not profitable enough yet, and they start to play that game. Well, when I hit this goal, then I'll hire somebody else. No, no. Hire soon and fire even sooner. And this is a skill that I've learned to adopt in our business, that if we feel like there is a need for something to change in our business, we have to change it. Because peace is the number one thing that I want to bring into my business. And that's peace of mind. And 2, if there is something that I continuously see is hard, then I probably need to hire somebody. And while, of course, there's always this bottom line dollar of can we afford it, I always choose peace. I literally rather take home less profit and have more peace. The third thing I see is this concept that I call scaling and surfing, which I touched a little bit upon already. And it's this energy around not needing to be in your business all alone. I don't know about you, but why? Just why do you want to be in your business alone? I've never seen anybody create an empire and create something magnificent by themselves. I've created an empire alongside of literally the most beautiful, amazing entrepreneurs. And so the same way you don't need 50 team members to validate what you're doing, just ask yourself, if you're afraid to let go, why? Examine what success means to you. And do you actually want to grow and scale a brand? I'll be honest with you, that excites me. You know, like the part of like scaling and expanding, it really does, because I look at scaling as expansion. Like when I ask myself, does Melissa the human want to expand? I'm like, yeah, that feels fine. And while sometimes I'm surfing and we're coasting and we're not expanding, the same thing is reflected in your business. Are you scaling, going up? Are you surfing? And the trajectory of your business, to me, I see it as the seasons. Sometimes you're scaling, sometimes you're surfing. And so just know what season you're in and just understand the type of business that you're creating. Listen, I have some clients that they're like, I never want to scale my brand. I literally want to replace my income. Amazing. Good for you. I love that. Know what type of business you are creating. And this is one of the biggest reasons why I've seen so many content creators quit, because they start chasing this, again, invisible status or this need to be everywhere on every stage, or they start comparing themselves to the top people in their industry and they start telling themselves, well, they created a podcast, I need to create a podcast. Wait, like, do you actually want to do that? I don't know if you guys remember, but Waking Up with Melissa started when I lived in my tiny home. And I still remember recording all of these episodes, the first 11 episodes, on my cell phone in my car. And while we've come a long way, I realized that the reasons why I started that podcast at that time was, of course, I wanted to be the teacher. I wanted to share. There was something around wanting to create that community that was literally pulling me to do it, but it was too soon, too fast. Nobody was paying me to record those episodes. That was something that I was deciding to do and didn't realize that we weren't yet as profitable as we needed to. So I had to put a pin to that. The second thing that I also noticed was that I thought I was supposed to. I saw so-and-so do it. So I was like, oh, I guess this is what business coaches do. Or I guess this is what spiritual brands do. And I didn't realize that although I had the desire to, I just couldn't do it at that time. And so much of building our businesses is about managing that risk. It's about understanding, wait, what is present now? What am I being called to now? Everything has a timeline, humans. I always tell people, you could do anything, but you can't do everything at the same time. Everything has its season. And so examine, what does success really mean to you? And do you actually want to grow a brand? Do you find that exciting? This next reason on why I see so many content creators quitting is because you created a business with your bae, your partner, your husband, your wife, and now you can't get out of it, because there was this concept that I heard in the past 5 years I've been growing my brand. I saw so many people creating this movement and this energy, this flex around, I retired my partner. I'm sorry, but that's not a flex. That's a motherfucking problem for me. I don't want to do that. Now, if you want to do that, I'm happy for you. And if you are in a relationship where both of you are desiring to be an entrepreneur, go for it. If both of you have unique skill sets where you find it intriguing and fun and exciting to go in business together, do it. But I promise you, not every relationship will benefit being in business together. I mean, shoot. It's hard being in a relationship itself and being an entrepreneur. Forget about adding those two things together. That takes a unique skill set. I personally have never fully shared every single cornerstone of my relationship. While I share a lot, I've shared my wedding photos, I share poems, I share a bunch of different things. I don't want my brand to be contingent on my family, period. Now, if you do, I'm happy for you. If you want to create a brand around motherhood, if you want to create a brand around it involving your kids or your relationship, that's good. But please know that it is not a flex to retire a partner, at least from what I've seen, because these are the same people that posted that are now not in a relationship, that are now having lots of problems in their relationships, because those two things are very difficult on itself. It's not even two things. Those are three things: being an entrepreneur, being in a relationship, and being in partnership, a business partnership with your relationship. Wow, like, let's talk about freaking complicating this shit. Like, being in business with your bae is a whole thing. It's fine if that's what you're desiring. But please understand that because this is a new market, because this is a new industry, back to one of the first things that I shared on this episode, there is no freaking manual. You have to create the manual. This very last part is the difference between influence and impact. These two things are not the same. They're not the same. The same way I always tell our students, Your followers do not equal your income. This has nothing to do with you creating a profitable, sustainable business. If you're desiring to have an influencer account, I love this for you. I have a lot of influencer accounts as well. But your followers do not equal money in your bank. What your followers can help you do is create brand deals. What your followers can help you do is allow your content to go deep and wide because you're probably creating content for the masses. But creating content for the masses doesn't necessarily mean that you're getting in front of a buyer. I love creating impact. When I think of creating impact in a brand, I think about a brand that's focused on resolving a specific problem and a brand that's creating community. We are an impact-driven company. Who has influence? And so just understand the difference between the two. And I'm gonna just keep it real with y'all. Like, a lot of people have quit because a lot of people were trying to create a brand that was filling a void. Maybe you wanted to be seen. Maybe you thought it was cool. Maybe you really thought creating a brand that had a million followers would make you more. But here's the thing, like, it's just like money. Money doesn't make you more. You already are who you are, and money will just amplify that. Your following account, it's not going to make you more. It's not going to make you more popular. It's not going to make you more likable. In fact, it's going to open you up to a lot of different things that you probably have never experienced, like trolls or people who disagree with you. And so just get really, really clear on the type of brand that you're wanting to create. And just ask yourself, what is my core driver for wanting to create a brand that has influence or wanting to create a brand that has impact? While I've seen a lot of accounts that are more influence-driven, sometimes they don't have impact or the biggest impact to get a community to move, to get a community to want to be a buyer. Some influencers may really rely on brand deals, and that's great. Some type of influencers might want to create a brand around their lifestyle because they genuinely enjoy that. That's amazing. So get really, really clear on the type of business that you're creating. If you ask me, the best type of business that I have seen is community first. And when you create a community first type of business, you're positioning your audience as that key player. So for me, I never run out of content. I'm always pivoting in my business because I see the evolution of our community. And I just ask them constantly, what are you desiring for us to create? What kind of episodes do you want me to record? I involve my community every step of the way. They know everything that I'm creating. I don't wait till the end to look like, look at me, look at what I've created. I'm so cool. No, I'm constantly creating that deeper conversation with our audience because I know that's where the biggest impact is created. And because that impact is created, then the influence, the brand influence actually starts to take shape. But I'm not creating the influence based on the money that we've made. I'm not creating the influence based on look at me and where I live or the cars that I have. None, all of that, I can't even say it's secondary. Like, it's just in the background. What I'm really here to do is to help people really create a soulful, sustainable, profitable business based on their unique gifts. That's all I have to do. And that in itself creates the impact and the influence we need to create those sales. So if you're an influencer, you may have an account that might go viral. You may get a lot of comments, but that's not going to build the impact that you need. You see, let me explain this to you really quickly. Impact is when you make somebody move. And so you can have impact just based on your writing. And the way you write can impact somebody right then and there in that moment to want to better their life, to have a better day, to get into a course, to go on their first retreat. To me, that's what we strive for, is to be a brand that creates that massive impact in people's hearts. Humans, I want to challenge us to have more radical, honest conversations. I think we're all done with seeing the highlight reels. Let's get to the heart of why we've seen so many people come offline, spiritual entrepreneurs, content creators. I really believe that the right balance of being online is both being in person and online. I've always talked about this notion of what is feeding your soul and what is feeding the business. We have to come back to balancing that out. And you cannot follow somebody else's manual. They wrote the manual for themselves. There is no cheat code. While you can hire a million mentors, at the end of the day, they're going to always come back to ask you, what do you want to create? And your answer cannot be, I don't know, you tell me. What? No, your mentor, your coach is there to amplify what's already there. If you're confused about what your vision is, sure, they can help you get clarity on that. But they can't make it up for you. Don't outsource your vision. Your vision is so unique to you. Your manual is so unique to you. It's time for us to create our own culture book, our own manual. How do you want to be in your soul business? What are the hours you want to work? Who do you want to be around? What type of community do you want to lead with? How many offers do you want to have? Do you want to have a podcast? Do you not want to have a podcast? Do you want to write content every day? Do you not want to write content every day? I cannot answer these questions for you. You have to do this for yourself. Well, I can tell you what I did. I created a brand that was focused on quality. I'd never even followed that quantity. That quantity that I just shared with you about Gary Vee telling you to pump out more. I think it is very timely right now. And if I had to give myself the advice again, I would say, yeah, create more quantity. Do not let it diminish the value of the content. Like if it's diminishing the actual quality of the work, then don't do that. Go back to what is feasible for you. But when I started, I posted 3 times on Instagram. I don't even think that works anymore. And when I say 3 times, I mean 3 times for the entire week. But those 3 times, I promise you, I was so connected. I was connected to every single word. I wasn't in a rush. I truly believed in every single thing that I shared. I showed up with so much time in my hands because when you're first starting a business, all you have is time. Stop trying to race to the finish line. What are you racing to? There's no race. There's nowhere to go. There's nothing to do. If I'm going to live for the next 80 years, 100 years, whatever it is, I'm going to pace myself out. I always remind myself that if you think I'm at the top of my game, check again. I have not even scratched the surface. I'm just getting started. I don't have time to be burnt out and needing a vacation. You only need a vacation if you're not in alignment. And it's usually because you think you need to be further along. You're probably doing it the way somebody else is telling you to do it. And you're not honoring the ways in which you're being called to lead. Humans, it's been amazing connecting with you specifically on this episode because while I love to talk about quantum leaping, I love to talk about activating your abundance and what it takes to build a soul business, I love to have these grounded conversations with you that are so timely to what is happening in our industry right now. If you're listening to this episode on YouTube, I would love for you to hit that like button. I would love for you to subscribe so that every single week when we drop these episodes, you get the notification and you tune in. If you are listening to this on any of the streaming platforms, I would love for you to take a screenshot, share it on socials, tag me at I am Melissa Ruiz. I love to hear what are your big takeaways. Because as I told you in this episode, we are community driven first. Go with peace. Go with God. See you soon.
Breathe.